It's KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first hour, a lot of Teddy Bridgewater's leg snapping off. Worked on a little Tebow, worked on a little Astros. So a lot of stuff there in the first hour.
Yeah.
And we didn't talk about, we talked about whether or not I'm actually going to the game, which I haven't decided yet. I do have College Football Talks picks for the Big 12, and I want to see if you agree with them.
Like the predicted order of finish?
They've got the order of finish. I know you can get, all right, even anybody can guess 10, right?
I'll go out on a limb.
Be careful. I could be tricking you.
I'm going to go with the Kansas Jayhawks finishing worst in the Big 12.
You got it right.
What?
I can't believe it. I cannot believe you got that.
Well, I'm feeling good then.
They do say David Beatty should be Big 12 Coach of the Year if they win two games.
Yeah, yeah. I'd agree with that.
National Coach of the Year if they win three. How did that program become so awful and just stay?
No idea.
Oh, well. Number nine, care to guess?
I am torn between Iowa State and Texas Tech.
Iowa State is your winner.
Okay. And at number eight, I'll put Texas Tech.
All right, they have Kansas State at number eight.
That's why I would have had it seven.
The only thing about Kansas State, they're going to be better most years than you expect them to be. So it seems low to me, but that's who they have at eight. Interestingly enough, they have two teams behind Texas Tech, who's at five. Would you care to guess who those two teams are?
Baylor, I'm guessing, is one.
Baylor is, and that's a hard one because you look at their schedule, they're going to be 5-1 at worst at the start of the season.
Their non-conference schedule is a joke, but what are they going to do in conference?
But then after their bye on October 22nd, they get Texas, TCU, Oklahoma, K-State, and Tech. And then, a trip to Morgantown. So,
who, by the way, is pretty decent. West Virginia.
Yeah, that's who they have sixth.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, West Virginia, I promise you at the end of the season, West Virginia greater than Texas Tech. I would almost guarantee it.
Well, the top four are pretty easy. It's just figuring out the order, which
I'm going to guess that they go Texas 4, Oklahoma State 3, Horned Frog 2, and Boomer 1.
They have Oklahoma State 4.
Oh.
They have Texas 3.
Listen, I'm all for Texas to have a bounce back season, but I think for them to be third in the Big 12 may be a stretch.
I don't know.
Because then you're talking about winning 9-10 games.
Yeah, which I don't think is out of the realm of possibility. I don't think it's going to happen. But yeah, TCU 2, Oklahoma 1. This team did beat Baylor last year, even though they were down to a third quarterback. They did beat OU. Theoretically, better quarterback play this year. Better play calling. He's got the talent. They're going to out-talent a lot of teams.
Yep, but they have a freshman quarterback.
Yeah, but how can he be any worse than what they've been trotting out
there? I don't know.
And if he's an improvement, I would have Oklahoma State third because I still think that's turned into a really good program. And I know they're going to show up every year. But I'm not going to be at all surprised if Texas gets it done. Anyway, there you go. And this is where that stat was I was telling you about with Oklahoma. The last four times they've started the season in the top four nationally, they finished 15, 16, and twice outside the rankings.
Yeesh.
So, if that's the case, if they finish 15th this year, they're not winning the Big 12. I'm going to go out on a limb with that. I don't think they win the Big 12 if they're number 15 in the country. Although, I guess if you lost three games, like say you lost to Houston, Ohio State, in one conference game but still won the conference, yeah, you might still be able to be 15.
Yeah.
But I think they'll be better than that. But I can see why.
Did you see what Skip Bayless had to say about Tim Tebow?
Oh, God. No, of course I didn't.
This is his breakdown. Tebow versus David Aardsma, who David Aardsma was also there. I think former Rice Owl and former Major League closer, David Aardsma.
Yeah.
Low 90s with off-speed stuff. Tebow struggling with change-up, slow curves. Tebow just ripped an Aardsma slider to left, then a fastball off the left field fence. Another opposite field shot high off the fence off Chad Smith fastball. No pull power displayed yet versus live pitching. Versus live big league level pitching, Tebow is often late on swings, but makes good line drive contact and doesn't swing at bad pitches. Which, by the way, at this point, Chad Smith and David Aardsma aren't big league level pitching
right,
because they've both been out of the big leagues for some time. Overall, I give Tebow a B for his baseball audition. Not bad. Some team absolutely should give him a minor league shot to prove himself. I'd like to see what Tebow could do over an entire minor league system as he settles in and adjusts to the speed of the game. Obviously, he could be a huge draw for a minor league team, but I still give him a long shot at making the majors. The good, Tebow handled self well in the outfield, strong arm, which is exactly the opposite of what I saw, BP power. The not great, late swings versus live pitching, fooled by some off speed. So he liked him, but that's no surprise because he loves Tim Tebow.
Yeah, yeah. He thinks he should still be playing quarterback. I had a story today that had six options for the Cowboys to add another quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And the first couple sort of made sense. And then I got down and Tim Tebow was on the list. And I'm like, that's it. This is a worthless list. It's not getting on the air. Stick with what you're doing. You know what he's got in him? He's got Brett Favre in him.
Yeah.
He just can't stand to be away from the spotlight. I understand it. It's been your whole life, and you love it, but at some point, you know, that's a damn good career he was making for himself.
Yeah.
No, he's never going to be. He's still going to be more famous than most people, just because he's Tim Tebow. People still want his autograph. I don't think it's a competitive thing. I think he likes being a star, man, and that's not big enough for him. Because once you've been on an NFL field and won a playoff game, once you've won a national championship,
yeah,
being a really good guy for ESPN is not enough for him. God, are people still tweeting about the flag thing? Come on. It was 2 days ago. Oh, Nick. I don't even know if I could say that, but it's funny. From Nick's tweet there.
You could say it.
I need a ruling from Jong on that. Because it's pretty obvious to me what he's talking about. It was a reference to Brett Favre's not being Greg Oden. How about that? Is that fair?
Foster says, did you hear what Florio said about Calvin Johnson on Dan Patrick about the Hall of Fame? No, I didn't.
Yeah, sorry.
But
yeah, that's like you asking me, did I hear what Skip Bayless said?
Yeah, I've got to be honest. After talking to the guys that vote for the Hall of Fame, talking to those guys at the Super Bowl this last season, I feel like anybody that I think should be instantly into the Hall of Fame, they've got something terrible to say about him. And it is a bunch of old guys who are set in that way that says Jim Brown's the best football player ever and no one can ever be better. And a lot of they'll talk about guys that there's no way they saw play. You know what I mean? Because
right,
they're talking about guys that you couldn't even see because you couldn't see every game on television back then. So, I mean, we're talking like leather helmet guys that they think are better than Terrell Owens. And after talking to them, I realized that me thinking that Randy Moss, Calvin Johnson, and T.O. are right next to Jerry Rice on the Mount Rushmore of wide receivers all time, those last three, none of them may get into the Hall of Fame, which is completely absurd to me. And the reasoning they had behind it didn't make sense to me, but I'm not a voter, and they are. And you heard it too, Fred.
Well, I've been telling you that for years.
It's been crazy.
And whenever we start talking about Hall of Fame, I say, first off, you have to consider how these guys vote.
Yeah.
And you have to consider who's voting. And
I had no idea how.
And you always just said, oh, no, that's silly. I'm glad you met him. I'm glad you got to see him.
Oh, it disgusted me, honestly.
Because
not that they weren't nice guys.
I mean, they're great guys, and they make good arguments for what they're doing. It's just, at least they believe their arguments. I don't know that they're good arguments.
No, they're not. Any argument to be made against Terrell Owens and Randy Moss not belonging in the Hall of Fame,
well,
to me,
but those guys are big on what happens in the locker room and guys who are leaders. In addition to that, to them, that's just as important.
I understand that being valuable, but what about actually being a great football player? Arguably one of the two or three best ever at what you did.
Here's their point. To be a great football player, to be a transcendent Hall of Fame type player, you have to be more than just a guy who puts up numbers on the field.
Okay.
That's their argument. And in some cases, I agree with it. That's why if you put up those numbers and win two Super Bowls, even if you're a pain in the ass, you're in.
So Ben Roethlisberger's an automatic.
I think he is, yeah. Based on that criteria, yes, right. Absolutely. Even if he did get crazy in a...
Right,
in a restaurant or wherever, bar.
But Randy Moss liked pot, so no Hall of Fame.
But he also had that. They'll also argue against that stretch he had where he was in Oakland, and
yeah.
I'm not saying that any of that's right. I'm just saying those are the guys making the decision, not us.
But no, I didn't hear what Florio said about Calvin Johnson. I'd be curious, but to me, Calvin Johnson is a no-brainer, 100% should be in the Hall of Fame. And I know he had a shortened career. A lot of guys did. Gale Sayers had a short career.
Well, and that's the thing. You could tell me, well, he didn't play long enough, but then I'll throw Gale Sayers at you.
Right. And he was, without doubt, the best player at his position for almost his entire career. I don't see an argument against him, but if Florio's got one, I'd love to hear.
I'm sure, just knowing what I know about Florio, he's just trolling people.
Probably so. All right, guys, I'm going to tell you about DraftKings again. It's coming up. You've put in all the work for your season-long fantasy team. Now, put that knowledge to the test. Play for your shot at the $1 million top prize at DraftKings.com. It's just part of the $5 million in total prizes that they're dishing out in week one alone. DraftKings.com is still the destination for one-week fantasy football. One-week fantasy means no season-long commitments. You don't have to worry about, my quarterback's got a bad matchup. If you don't like it, don't use him. Somebody gets hurt on your season-long team, you're in trouble. DraftKings, you don't have to worry about that either. You pick the players you want, and you play when you want to play. Just pick your contest, draft your players, follow your team live. You can play with friends and family in a private league, or you can join an existing league and play with people all around the country. Hurry to DraftKings.com now to choose your players, and you could seriously cash in week one. Use the code Houston, and you'll play for free with your first deposit. That's code Houston to play for free for your share of the $5 million in total prizes in this week one contest. It's only at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. The website, of course, DraftKings.com.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
This is an all-time thing. This isn't how brightly did you burn for a short period of time. Under that standard, Terrell Davis would already be in the Hall of Fame. This is how do you rack up against the all-time greats. And I understand Lynn Swann's in there with ridiculously low numbers, but he has four Super Bowl rings and one of the great all-time performances we've ever seen in any Super Bowl. Back in the days before they were throwing the ball all over the place, he had multiple incredible catches in the same game. Calvin Johnson is 0-2 lifetime in the postseason. And when you look at the all-time list, And you guys may have already thrown these numbers out there. He's 43rd on the all-time receiving list. He's behind Santana Moss, for crying out loud, all due respect to Santana Moss. He's 27th on the receiving yardage list. So, yeah, he had a couple of years where he was as good as anyone. But look at the guys in front of him who aren't in the Hall of Fame. How does he leapfrog them? And look how long some guys like Art Monk had to wait to get in. How long would Calvin Johnson have to wait? Because there's a waiting list for receivers. That's why Terrell Owens didn't get in right away. All that stuff about when Gary Myers was on your show, when Ross Tucker was sitting in for you and talking about how disruptive he was, that's just a way to justify the pecking order. They're going to put Terrell Owens in sooner rather than later because his performance merits it. But there's a lot of guys between T.O. and Calvin Johnson on the all-time list who were better than Johnson for the overall better production, better numbers, Super Bowl appearances, playoff wins, and I think that makes it very hard to put Calvin Johnson in.
Okay. That's your boy, Florio.
Listen, I understand there's a lot of guys who have better, they've racked up more of those receptions, more receiving yards, but put it on a per season, and Calvin Johnson's better than almost all of them. Calvin Johnson's like 19, 20 receptions behind Michael Irvin and played three less seasons than him. I mean, that's
three less Super Bowls. So that Super Bowls are a big deal to these guys.
I guess so. Andre Reed's in.
It to four.
1-0.
Yeah, but he made it to four.
Well, I don't get it. I mean,
he was part of a great team too.
He was.
It just,
don't get me wrong, but rewarding guys for just doing it the longest is like Craig Biggio being in the Hall of Fame. It's that to me. That's not the guys who just are really consistent for a long time shouldn't be looked at as greater than the guys who did it the best for a shorter time. And I know everybody's got a different opinion, but, you know, I don't know. That's mine. Mine is that if you're the best, even if it's only for an 8-year, 9-year career, that's more impressive to me than someone who was a top 10 receiver in the league over the course of 13, 12 years.
But with Super Bowls.
Yeah.
That makes a difference.
But not all of them have Super Bowls.
No, that's true.
You know, a lot of these, Tim Brown doesn't have a Super Bowl. You know, Chris Carter doesn't have a Super Bowl.
I don't think Chris Carter belongs in there, to be honest with you. I've said that all
because
along.
Because Chris Carter's the Craig Biggio of football. And he's a guy who just played long enough.
And he also had a microphone and screamed about it enough and had people at ESPN back him enough. I think the thing that gets lost on Calvin Johnson, it's the same thing when we were talking about, you know, we were talking about LeBron James and who's been his coach. You know, when Michael Jordan was winning championships, he had Phil Jackson.
Yeah.
Kobe's winning championships with Phil Jackson. Who's the best coach LeBron's ever had?
I couldn't give you one.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Eric Spoelstra, which is absurd.
Until he got Matt Stafford, who's playing quarterback for Calvin Johnson, and he was putting up numbers better than guys that you want to make arguments for now, like Andre Johnson, Marvin Harrison, even with Peyton Manning throwing in the ball. Calvin Johnson was better.
Yeah.
So I'm with you on that. I just, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you can go through the list of these guys who, when all is said and done, will have gaudier numbers, overall piled up numbers than Calvin Johnson. And I guess that's fair. I mean, that's to me, that's something you should look at, is what kind of numbers you were able to stockpile over the course of your career. But, I mean, let's also take into account Calvin Johnson in a 9-year career had 83 touchdown catches. There's a lot of guys on that Hall of Fame list who are nowhere near that. There's a lot of Hall of Famers who he's ahead of. You know what I mean? And you could say all you want, well, you stack up the numbers. The numbers is what matters. And at the end of the day, Anquan Boldin And Anquan Boldin, who's still playing, by the way, and is going to end up with probably, hell, 3 or 4 more years, maybe 5 more years of play than Calvin Johnson. Anyone who watched Anquan Boldin and Calvin Johnson through their careers and says, yeah, Anquan Boldin's a better player because look at the end, his numbers are all better than Calvin Johnson's. I don't understand that logic when voting for Hall of Famers. That's not what the Hall of Fame should be. It's about putting the greatest players in. Anquan Boldin's a really good player for a long time. To me, was never one of the greats of the NFL. Calvin Johnson spent six, seven years as the best receiver in the NFL. That's not good enough to get you in the Hall of Fame, though? Stop. It's absurd to me. But yeah, look at Art Monk. Look how long he had to wait. Well, Art Monk played for 16 years. That's how he got all those numbers that he put up. If Art Monk was really great, he would have gotten in a lot faster. The reason they took so long is because he was never really that great. He was a really consistent guy for a long time. Calvin Johnson great.
But it's also harder to judge numbers from when Art Monk was playing versus numbers now when it comes to receivers. And I think those are issues that are going to right. If you just look at numbers, Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce are in.
Yeah.
Go look at what they did.
Keyshawn Johnson has more receptions than Calvin Johnson. Does anyone in the world think Keyshawn Johnson was a better receiver than Calvin Johnson? Anyone? There isn't. There's no one who thinks that because it'd be ridiculous to say it. But it's like, oh, you had better numbers. Nah, get out of here with that. That's crazy talk.
And I also, I don't want to dismiss the fact that now that there's a salary cap, you can't build the super teams like you did with the Steelers and the Cowboys and teams like that that had multiple Hall of Famers. And even the early days of the Patriots, right. You simply can't build those teams. And if you're a great player on a team, then if you've got a bad organization, they're not going to – there's nowhere you can go. And if he were to come back and play his last 3 years with Tom Brady and put up the same numbers and win a Super Bowl, he wouldn't even have a discussion.
Of course not.
He wouldn't have a discussion, man.
Anyway. All right. I got to tell you about Allied Outdoor Solutions. I was looking at my back patio today, and I started thinking about carved stone. And listen, if you've got an old-looking patio, an old pool deck, whatever it is, and you want that thing to pop, carved stone can do it for you, and you can get that at Allied Outdoor Solutions. Carved stone gives you the superior look of real stone on your existing surface, and it costs a lot less money than tearing everything out and starting all over. Allied stands behind carved stone with a 7-year warranty. It's trial hand-carved, custom-colored for your home. Looks great, very durable, and they can help you with residential and commercial projects. If you've currently got nothing going on in the backyard, good news. They can build your space from the ground up, from a functional concrete patio to the outdoor kitchens and patio cover you've been dreaming of. And they can help you save money, too. They offer several monthly payment options. They even offer 0% financing for up to 18 months. It's no wonder they're the 2015 Angie's List Super Service Award winner. Save yourself the hassle and expense of tearing everything out and starting over. It's too much of a hassle. Don't do it. Get a carved stone overlay for the look and feel of real stone for less money from Allied Outdoor Solutions today. Stop by the showroom, I-10 in the Beltway, or check out the Carved Stone Projects photo gallery at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com, or give them a call for a risk-free estimate. 713-465-0400. That's 713-465-0400 for Allied Outdoor Solutions.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And that music means it's time for our good buddy Jerome Solomon, Houston Chronicle columnist, occasional podcast guy. You can follow him on Twitter at Jerome Solomon. Jerome, what are you... you think about this Calvin Johnson thing. You're not one of those old, crusty dudes, so I trust your opinion.
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, now.
That just set you all up there, and now you're just...
Hello?
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Are you hiding from something? Are you in a bathroom?
No.
That's what it sounds like. It's like
he's hiding from his kids.
I'm trying to get a new computer out of my Chronicle since I've got this. The fancy 2007 edition that I've been working on for a while, it's there. So, you know, but they move a little slow, even for me, who's supposed to be the big dog around here.
Oh, yeah, you should be able to get whatever you want.
You would think.
What the hell? Tell those people to quit giving you crap, man.
If you would come back and go to work where you're supposed to be, I wouldn't have these issues, Fred.
Yeah.
Quitter.
Yeah, for half the money? Yeah, can't wait to work 80 hours a week for that. So we were talking about Calvin Johnson, and I guess Florio said he's not a Hall of Famer. A lot of those crusty old guys that we all know are probably going to say he's not a Hall of Famer. What does Jerome Solomon say?
I would have said, and I haven't studied up on this, didn't know it was even a discussion, so I've been out of the loop today. But I would have said he'd probably be a guy that would get in because he was pretty doggone special for a good stretch of time. But I heard a thing a while back, and I haven't verified it or anything, but it was a couple of months ago, right around the time he retired, that he's not in the top 20 all time in, like, any statistical category. That would make anybody who says he's not a Hall of Famer, that they've got a legitimate point. You know what I mean? If you're not in the top 20 all time, you didn't do a whole lot of damage, especially for a receiver.
He's in the top 20 in touchdown receptions.
In a passing age. Is he in the top 20?
Yeah.
Like I said, I didn't get to look it up or verify, but it was just, I was like, wow, that's pretty doggone amazing if he's not even top 20. So you would have a legitimate argument. I think that his stretch of time of being, if not the best, at the worst, the top two or three at his position for as long as he was, would warrant it based on who's gotten in before. But I'm going to argue with somebody who says, no, he's not, because their standards are higher.
Hey, well, obviously the Kaepernick thing kind of ate everything up yesterday, and I know you had some thoughts on it, and I we're done with it, but while we got you here, wanted you to throw a few things in.
I'm gonna write. I haven't written on it. You know, I've been busy doing a lot of stuff and just haven't had the time to weigh in on it because it is a delicate issue. I do think what's unfortunate is all I've seen, or most of what I've seen, not all obviously, but most of what I've seen has been a discussion about what he did or didn't do, what he's made of, you know, how much money he makes, how good of a player he is, and almost zero discussion about what he said. And part of that is his fault, because what he did draws a lot of people into a discussion, and they don't give a damn what you have to say because they want to talk about what you did and go all into war and dying soldiers and all of that crap. I call it crap because that has nothing to do with what he was about, and he said that specifically, if people would listen to what he had to say. That's the discussion that people haven't had. And like I said, it's partly his fault, because it's the same as I can't go around and call that football team in Washington the Redskins and say, well, I'm just talking about football, if a Native American tells me, no, you're not talking about football when you say Redskins, you're insulting me, you're offending me with a racist term. I have to take their word on that. So I'm the same way with people who say, not standing up for the national anthem, you're dissing our military. I can say, I don't mean to. He's like, well, yeah, you are, because I say you are. So I do think it's delicate in that sense, but I'd much rather the discussion go to what he had to say than what he did.
Jerome Solomon, our guest. How excited are you for college football? Which of the games will you be attending this weekend?
I'm going to go to U of H and OU. It's time. It seems like it's been forever since we got a college football game. And I guess since I don't cover colleges anymore like I used to, I used to already be getting juiced up because you go to practice, and unlike the pros, college practices, they actually play some football. So I'm pretty jacked up about it, even though we're coming up on the 25th anniversary of the last time University of Houston was in a game like this. Let's hope they don't have that same result. I'm sure you recall in 1991 when U of H was top 10 and Miami was number 2, and U of H was talking all that trash all week long and went to Miami for a national TV night game on a Thursday and just got smoked. That was pretty entertaining.
I have no recollection of that whatsoever. But, hey, don't tell me you guys are writing a damn 25-year anniversary piece.
No, not at all. No, I just thought of it because this very much reminds me of that situation. It was, you know, the U of H is where they were, is entering the season now, where they were entering the season back then, and it's that type of situation. But it's dramatically different because back then you had John Jenkins as the head coach, you know, as opposed to Tom Herman. You were running the quirky run and shoot on the road against a vicious Miami team. You're playing not on your home field, but in your home city against an OU team that can be beaten. So this gives them a really good opportunity, and it should be fascinating to watch it happen, and it's going to be fun.
So you're predicting a victory for the University of Houston. Is that what I heard?
Oh, no, OU's going to mollywop them, but it's going to be fun until it happens.
Why do we have him on the show? He brings nothing but the negativity.
I like what Jerome brings. I gotta say,
we'll
see how many people listen to your show now because all the Cougars will be like, "I told you he hates us."
you're just pulling a Bayless Florio thing on him. Listen, I wanted to ask you about the Texans here, and obviously we don't care about what happens with the last preseason game, but. Any last thoughts obviously they don't play the third game the way they used to, or it's really just another preseason game, but any last thoughts on the Texans here as they wrap up camp?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it hasn't changed. It didn't change for me after the second game, as I told you last week. I mean, I think they're good. We just don't know how good, and we don't know what they'll deliver at crunch time, which is what it's going to boil down to, but we know this team is good enough to be in every game and good enough to win every game. So it should be fun and interesting there. I do say their excuse making about their running game being so pitiful, about they haven't game planned for the running game and all of that. Okay, that sounds fine and dandy, but teams haven't game planned against you either. They're just stopping you. And we saw how they can get to the quarterback a couple of times here the other day. Are they going to be a team that's really going to just rely on, you know, can they bust the big play here and now and not be consistently good, just be explosive? Well, teams that are explosive win games, you know, 35-13, and teams that are explosive get sacked 7 times and 3 turnovers and get blown out 2, and they go up and down and they finish 8-8. So they're going to have to be consistent and consistently good, and I'm not sure they can be consistently good without a solid, consistent offensive line, and they're just not going to have that. I can't see that happen.
That's Jerome Solomon, joins us every week, and Jerome, appreciate the time as always, sir. Enjoy the game on Saturday, and look forward to reading your column after UH beats Oklahoma. So,
oh, really? Now you picking U of H to win the game?
Damn sure said they're going to cover. They were going to cover. They're not going to win, but. I hope they do.
I know you're going to wear your red and white U of H underwear. I know how you roll to the game. So, no, I think it should be fun. It's going to be a great atmosphere. And for people, Houston fans, who haven't seen how OU rolls, this should be Reliant or NRG will be rocking on Saturday morning. It's going to be a great atmosphere. It's going to be fun.
All right, man. Well, we will talk to you again next week, my friend.
All right, guys. Later.
All right. That's Jerome Solomon, Chronicle columnist. And want to be Florio.
No, right. No one wants to be that.
No, God, no. Plus, Florio if you could just punch somebody with no repercussion, isn't he pretty high on your list? He just looks so punchable.
A him or Skip?
They're both begging you to hit him.
Him? Which one, though?
I'll take Florio. I'll punch Florio. He looks more punchable.
I'd punch Skip for sure.
Actually, I'd punch Collinsworth. I'll put him on the top of the list, even though it's a different. He's not really a troll. He's just unlikable.
There's a lot. There's Berman.
I'd be afraid to hurt my hand on that guy.
Joe Buck.
Yeah, he's below those guys on the list because
Stephen A.
I don't mind Stephen A. as much. Oh well. We're gonna take a quick break. It is the Blitz. On ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Tune in at 7 o'clock Wednesday for Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis. And also download the ESPN 97 app, available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go, or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN975.com. And you can also go there, pick up a copy of An Introduction to Sports Betting Blitz Style if you want to get into it this year. It's the audiobook that is sweeping the nation. Speaking of betting, somebody said, took Cal minus 20 and a half. Can you believe the way that game ended? I was so pissed. I thought that number was right where it needed to be. It was funny because it was 20 most of the week, and we were talking about this yesterday. It's if you went the hook either way, you were either really pissed or really happy. That's why I stayed away from that and just took the under. Sam Niner asks, if Ole Miss goes undefeated, what needs to happen for them to be in the national championship? If Ole Miss is undefeated, that means they beat Alabama and LSU and won the SEC championship. They're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
To be in the national championship, obviously, they'd have to win the semifinal. I'm not sure what the question is, frankly. So maybe you could clarify that for me. All right.
I've been talking to Jay and doing some research, and I was wrong. The list I was looking at didn't include some of the leatherhead guys back in the day. So Calvin Johnson is not in the top 20 all-time of receptions. He is number 22 on the list. So
Dustin's punch in the face list. Five Astros radio guys: Deardorff, Joe Buck, Florio, Skip.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's not a bad list. So, J Mark, more punchable, Cowherd or Lebatard?
Man.
That's a good one. I'll go Lebatard. It's close.
Yeah, that's really tough.
All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
I kind of think my next ex-wife needs to be Australian. They're just so weird down there and kind of fun in a strange way.
Right.
Well, this one's too young for me, but she was accused of escaping from a correctional facility. Her name's Amy Sharp, where she was being held on property offenses. I'm not really sure what that means, but it's Australia. I'm sure an Australian can tell me. Even though she was considered a low risk to the public, they put out a bulletin asking for the public's help and included two photos of the suspect looking glum with a blanket over her shoulders, which they obviously had taken in the correctional facility. Few media outlets posted the alert, and basically the hunt is on for Amy Sharp, who fled Surry Hills Corrective Services cell complex, last seen at Riley Street on Friday, and they put it on their Facebook page.
Aussie!
Oi, oi, oi!
Well, guess who replied to the Facebook page and sent another photo and said, can you use this photo, please, and thank you. Yours truly, Amy Sharp. So, of course, this she got 60,000 likes for this. She didn't post the photo herself, as it turned out, but asked a friend to do it. And they found an Amy Sharp living in Sydney who resembled the woman in the photo. It was enough of a resemblance that they were able to track her down. And she's since been charged with escaping lawful custody, as well as an outstanding warrant, according to CNN.
All right.
So,
it's helpful of her.
Much better photo, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quality.
Yeah. She kind of looks like she just woke up from a correctional facility in the other ones.
Let me see.
You just kind of. And I'm guessing when she's done up, she's pretty cute.
Yeah, that's not the best.
Yeah. So, now and then.
That's her, the picture she asked him to use instead?
No. That's the ones they used.
Right. Did they have the picture she asked
to
use instead?
Yeah. It's. It's this one right here.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty cute in that one.
I see why she wanted to do that, of course.
Don't blame her. None of us really like unflattering photos, even if they are posted to get us arrested. Anyway, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day.
The Bannock Jeweler Gem of the Day. Longevity has to count when talking about Hall of Famers. But I'm guessing when it comes to guys like Earl Campbell, we're okay with it. Earl Campbell's not in the top 20 of any rushing category. Dude played 9 years in the league. But is there any doubt that Earl Campbell's one of the greatest players ever? Of course he is. Listen, and I think someone asked about this on Twitter, and I think we're going to see more of this going forward with the way concussions are and the way careers don't last as long as they once did. I think we're going to see what's going to be looked at more is how much are you able to put up per season, stats per season versus stats accumulated, which I think is a more accurate.
That's
way
not
going to
change.
Anyway.
That's not going to change until the people voting change.
Until
AJ.
Those old people die, they're going to die soon, Fred.
Well, but then
those people are older than you.
Well, considerably, yeah. But that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean it's not going to be another group that they've all been in the same room with those cats for 20 years that are going to keep thinking the same way. They're crotchety.
I need a Hall of Fame vote. That's what it boils down to.
Okay, so his question was, if Iowa State, Washington, U of H, and Clemson were undefeated, would Ole Miss still be? If Ole Miss wins the SEC undefeated, it doesn't matter what any other school in the country does, with the exception of maybe Ohio State. They would be a 2-seed at worst. There is no way that an SEC West champion goes undefeated and doesn't make the playoff. 0% chance.
Yeah.
Never happen. And that goes for any team in that division. A&M too. Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Arkansas. Any one of them did that. Because that means they would have beaten Auburn, Alabama, and all those other teams. So,
you want another note on Teddy Bridgewater?
Yes, please.
Mark Venzel of the Star Tribune said, for what it's worth, Teddy Bridgewater's injury was called in on the emergency scanner as a dislocated knee. That's not to say that is the full extent. So that would be the best case scenario, I'm guessing.
Yeah, that's not that bad.
Okay.
Well, compared to...
Well, that'd be the hell. We're talking
bone
about...
Bone snapping and things like
we're
that.
We're talking about tears and vomit. I mean, what is happening here?
I'll take dislocated knee over snapped leg. You can put a dislocated knee back.
That's exactly what I did.
Now, there you go.
No one vomited.
No, I'm... It's got to be more than that. When the coach is saying
I think when you dislocate your knee, you inevitably tear those ligaments. I mean, there was no way that my ligaments weren't torn when what happened.
Right,
to my
although
knee.
It also depends on how badly dislocated it was. If it was on the other side of his leg where it's not supposed to be.
That's automatic. I mean, but still no vomit from me.
All right. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.